false god and you get in trouble, who's going to rescue you? I love you. I've proven it. I've taken care of you year after year after year after year, whether you paid attention to me or not. I want you to be mine because I have the only pure love. And that's all for us. It's for our benefit. So God wants people to be sanctified, set apart for him. I did notice that the word sanctified in the verb tense is, it's a passive verb. I know you were afraid this moment would come when you left high school, that someday there would be a pop quiz and you would have to tell the difference between an active verb and a passive verb. This is the moment you've been dreading. An active verb means that the subject of the sentence is doing the action, whatever the verb might be. A passive verb means that the action is being done to the subject or for the subject of the sentence. So when it talks about those who take a place among those who are sanctified, it means that some other agent is setting us apart for God. We are not setting ourselves apart for God. And the means by which that happens, it says, is sanctified by faith. There's the P word. Trusting in, clinging to, relying upon God. What is it that makes me totally his? It's trusting in him to make me totally his. Trusting in what Jesus did. Jesus paid for my sins. He set me free. God has the power. I love that scripture in Titus chapter 2 that said it's God's grace that teaches us to say no to our flesh. It's not his threats. In Romans it says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. Isn't that Romans? I think so. I think it's Romans quoting some other place. So here's the picture that I get of this whole thing. Now maybe you think I'm just getting too much out of this. But it struck me when Jesus has said, I stopped you in your tracks. I could have killed you. But I thought you'd be the perfect guy to go tell people about how I feel about out-of-control sinners. Because you were an out-of-control sinner. And you were clueless. But I met you. I'm turning you around. Now I want you to go and tell people. And the picture that I get of what Jesus said for Paul to do is exactly the same reason Jesus left heaven and lived a life. He came with the same intent. He sent his disciples. He said, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And I would think that would apply to us. And when I've wrapped my brain around this whole thing of the heart behind a God who would say this stuff. They're blind, Paul. Pray their eyes will be open. Tell them the truth. Show them your life. Belong to me in front of them so they have an example to look at. Because they need to come out of the darkness into the light. They need to turn away from what's enslaving them, or I can't forgive them. And I want to, and I want them to be mine. If that's the way I think. I read an article the other day in the newspaper. It made me so angry. I don't get angry very easily. And this guy that wrote this article was a Christian, supposedly, church person. And he was an editorial page talking about the reason that all the people died in Haiti is that God, you know, is mad. And then he gave a list of all the reasons why God was mad. And he said, we used to kill witches, and now we just let them walk around free, and we don't get to kill them anymore. And then you start, and I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, wouldn't you know this guy would get half a page in the paper, and anybody talking about God's love and God's mercy gets zippo. It plays right into the lies that the enemy has been telling. But frankly, there's a lot of evidence being given out by just the posture of church people who are mad. They're mad, they don't like people's behavior, and so the picture that anybody has of God is that God's mad at them. And if we think of sinners as the enemy, how are they going to be rescued? Satan's the enemy. They're captives. God wants to set them free. He wants to walk in, bust the gates of hell down, grab the people, pull them out of darkness into light. That's his desire. And if that is my desire, won't my posture towards people be different? Yeah, you got to tell the whole truth. You have to talk about repenting and what that means. And I just want to, I've got 5 more minutes or so, I want to talk about this last phrase in verse 20. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified because, once again, I think the NIV is a little misleading. I looked it up in the Greek text to just see if I was just taking it wrong. And no, the NIV is just misleading when it talks about proving your repentance by your deeds. Does that smack to you of, you know, you got to prove to God that you're repentant? And that doesn't even make sense because he knows whether you are or not. So you're not to prove anything to him. And that's really not faithful to the text. I love the Amplified Bible. It was really good. It says, I'm telling them that they should repent and turn to God and do works and live lives consistent with and worthy of their repentance. And I just want to talk about why that would be. It's not to prove anything to God. It's just that follow-through thing. And I have so many examples in my own life, and I ask the Lord to be merciful about which ones I had to tell people. Because I'd just rather you didn't know, well, bozo I am. And I guess I don't have to be really specific. But there are things in my life in the past that I have, the secret things, just things that really only God knew about, or so I thought. Probably I was delusional, probably other people knew too. But I felt that they were just things that only God knew about. And in some moment of illumination, something that you read in the scripture or somebody's testimony or just the working of the Holy Spirit, you look at that thing, that relationship, that attitude, that habit, and you look at that, and that all of a sudden starts stinking. And it didn't really smell that bad before, and now it starts stinking. In fact, now it starts stinking so bad you can't stand it. Now you're begging for God to get rid of it. That's the first step in repentance, when my thinking changes. And rather than having 20 excuses why that's okay, my thinking is completely changed, and I realize that's not okay. That's got to go. I can't stand it. So then what do? Well, I can't deal with stuff by myself. I notice every time the word epistrepho was used here, the word turn, the word repent, it's always telling you where to turn. I turn to him because he's the one that can set me free. But then I need to help myself. There's some stuff I've just had to dump. And I've had this done to me. I remember years ago, I was in my 20s. There was this neat, godly young woman. I did not deserve her affections. But she came to me one day, and she said, you know, this relationship has got to end. This is the first time that I can remember being dumped for Jesus. But she said, I am a weaker Christian when I'm around you. And I don't want to be. I wish I was strong enough that it wouldn't matter what you were like. But she said, I've figured it out. I have feelings for you, and when I'm with you, I don't make good choices. So this relationship is over. I choose Jesus. I wasn't proud of her then. It hurt my feelings on a number of levels. But that was an example of repentance, where she said, I don't want to be that way anymore, and I'm getting rid of everything that makes it easier for me to be that way. And sorry, Bob, you got to go. Now, there have been a couple of times in my life where I've had to do that same thing. Living lives consistent with my repentance is one step past feeling bad about what I've done. It means something gets flushed down the toilet. It means a relationship ends. It means whatever it means. I have found that if I've got a specific problem that's too big for me, that sometimes I need to talk to another person, and I need to say, it's got to be somebody that God leads me to and say, you know me. You know I've got a problem with this. I am determined to be free. Jesus wants me to be free. Would you help me? You see me headed this direction? Would you flag me down? And I've seen this on really serious levels and on not so serious level, but you know what? Anything God puts his finger on and says, that's got to go, that's serious. Because all he wants is for us to be free and clear. So the Quakers have a saying. They say the best time to obey is immediately, before you let in the reasoner, before you have a panel discussion on how serious you have to be. So that's my little rabbit trail on repentance. I have seen in my life, there was one time in my life that I moved 4,000 miles away to take myself out of a situation where I was causing somebody to be in danger of falling. And so I moved. I left. So I would not be the occasion of stumbling my sister in Christ. And whether I should have ever gotten into that place where that would have been necessary or not is immaterial. The point is, in turning and being free, is that when God speaks to your heart, that you respond. And he'll show you what you need to do. Actually, he asks for very little. He asks for the will to do his will. And he gives me everything else that I need. So what's God's heart? What should my posture be towards the world around me? It just irritates the heck out of me to see the way our world is going. And I live in a very liberal area, and I hear things every day that just make me mad at people. And that's not good. and it's good that I hate sin, but I hate the people. You know what I mean? And so I'm having to say, Lord, I want to see these people the way that you do. I'm going to be in your way if I don't. And you know what the cool thing is? He's starting to do that. He's starting to give me compassion. When I pulled those kids out of the ditch a couple weeks ago and they robbed me, second time I pulled somebody out of a ditch that robbed me. It was a very cool thing. It's like Wayne and his sideswiping testimony that he had on Sunday. I did not feel anger for them. I was afraid for them. They were all loaded. They were drunk or on drugs or something. They could barely talk straight. There were three wild boys and one 13 or 14-year-old girl, and I was scared to death for her, and I was scared for them. And I started praying for them. Then I called the police and I called my bank. But I mean, my knee-jerk reaction was not to hunt them down. It was to say, oh Lord, they need you. Because it's not going to get better for them. It's going to get worse. So God sent this guy who used to hate sinners out into a world filled with sinners and says, no, I don't hate sinners. I want sinners to turn so that I can forgive them and bring them close to my heart. And I'm going to send you, he says. And that, I believe, is what God's sending us to do. Same thing. So, does anybody feel like I'm mad at him? Because I'm really not. Let's pray. Where would I be, Lord Jesus, if more than once in my life you had not intervened and stopped me from my self-destruction? You didn't do it because of my fabulous potential. You did it simply because you are merciful and filled with love, and you couldn't stand to watch me doing that to myself. So you stepped in. Lord, give us your heart for people. I pray that, Lord, knowing that it's a lot easier to get mad at them. Makes me feel better about myself. If I start seeing people the way you are, it's going to be very inconvenient. But I want to be an agent for people being rescued. And I thank you, Lord, for the promise that you would give us your heart, that you would fill us with your spirit. Thank you for this example that we have. Thank you for Paul's testimony. Thank you for the passage that we're reading where here he is 20 years down the road from that event that changed the whole course of his life. How many thousands upon thousands of people left the kingdom of darkness and came in the kingdom of light because of your interrupting that one life and sending him out with your heart. And we want to be like that, Lord. So help us. It's not our natural inclination. You know that. That's why you gave us the Holy Spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you for rescuing us. We ask the Holy Spirit now to illuminate the truth of these words and apply them to the hearts of everybody that's going to hear this recording and those of us that are in this room tonight as we ponder. I think I'm okay most of the time. And when I'm not, you have a beautiful way of telling me and turning me towards yourself. Lord, we pray that would continue to happen in each of our lives. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thanks for coming.